Okay, let's go through Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. So, Stephen, how'd you do last week? Did we take a vote, or are you good?
Well, we got out of it.
You're pale, so.
Yeah. No, I was nervous, definitely nervous.
Oh, that's great.
I think it went okay.
Okay, good, good. All right, any feedback for Stephen? If you do, catch him afterwards.
You're so nice.
Yeah, see in the parking lot.
Here's some wisdom right here.
Yeah. No, thank you, Steve, for stepping up. And then this weekend, I'm going to be out as well. We're going to go visit Layla. And Jesus is going to cover this weekend, so come out and support him. And so we'll see. So if we need to kill two birds with one stone afterwards, we can. No, just kidding. Yeah. And so what are you going to cover? I think we talked about it a few days ago.
I'm trying to figure out the title, but it'll pretty much just be, how do you know if you're in the will of God?
Okay, God's will, his sovereignty. Yeah, that's a hard subject, so good luck. Good. So don't bring your tomatoes, right? That's the one of the, when I was a young Christian, that was the first topic I talked about was fearing God and wisdom, and then wisdom and fearing God, and it was very hard. I don't even think I understood it well enough to teach it, but, you know, I went to one of those churches like, oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, okay, then you can teach next Sunday. And, you know, I could have brought a can of Spam and used that as an illustration how sin is inside, and Christ opens it up and the Spam comes out, right? I could have, like, they'd have been like, wow, that's so deep, right?
This is all the sanctification.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, no, that's the progressive sanctification, right? As you cut a piece, right? And so, yeah, that's the kind of church I used to go to as a young Christian. Yeah, next week, right? Yeah.
Right there it says taste and seal.
Yeah, that's right. We'll finish with that, right? Oh, so funny. But yeah, it's sad, but it's true. It's a reality. A lot of our churches are that way. But now what I've seen over my years in the Christian faith is that they have hijacked a lot of the theological words. And it sounds like Christianese, right? But it's really watered down, and they really do a dishonor to the men before us and the women before us who have either lost their lives or who have pinned, you know, God's word together from a theological perspective for us. So, but anyways, I digress. So, okay, so Ecclesiastes chapter 8. So in chapter 7, you remember what we covered? We covered what human wisdom could and could not accomplish, right? And here in chapter 8, Solomon begins to present some of the practical uses of wisdom. He applies wisdom to a number of different situations. I thought they were different and kind of odd as I went through them, but nonetheless, it's what he uses. And so we'll do our best to go through them. He says that wisdom is a good thing, okay? He says it is good to be wise. Who wants to be wise here? Does everybody want to be wise, right? Make wise decisions. What is the best wisdom man can get?
God's word.
God's word, that's right. Is man's wisdom good?
It can be practical at times.
It can be practical, right? It can learn from life's lessons, right? Don't stick your finger in the socket, right? Don't touch a hot bulb. Don't get on top of a ladder to the, on the very top step, right? Things like that. What are you laughing at? And so, yeah, I mean, these are things that I've heard from people around me that they've had incidents, right? Or they'll get on a ladder while putting up Christmas lights and ends up sliding off, and there you go, right, without somebody holding it for you. So, again, so, yes, we can learn to advocate the, you know, practical side of it, right? So we see in our verse here, it says, who is like the wise man? So before we go, let's start, let's read. Uh-oh, did I mess up? Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, whew. I thought I started at verse 8 and went through. But it's actually chapter 8 and forgot to put verse 1. All right, let's go ahead and read verse 1. We'll start with Raul, and we'll just go through from his right, my left, this way, and then we'll jump to Nick and just go through this way until we go through all 17 verses. All right, go ahead, boss.
Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed.
I say keep the king's command because of God's oath to him.
Do not be in a hurry to go to his presence. Do not stand in an evil matter, for he will do whatever he pleases.
Since the word of the king is powerful, who will say to him, "What are you doing?"
He who keeps a royal command experiences no evil thing, for a wise heart knows the proper time and custom.
For there is a proper time and custom for every matter, though a man's trouble is multiplied upon him. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it happens?
There is no man who has power to restrain the wind with wind, and there is none who has power over the day of death. And there is no discharge in the time of war, and wickedness will not provide escape to its masters.
All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt.
Then I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were brought in the city where they had been done. This also is better.
Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil.
Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him.
But it will not be well for the wicked man, and he will not prolong his days, like a shadow, because he does not fear God openly.
There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. There are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity.
And I commanded joy for men has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for there will go with him in his toil through the days of his life, and God has given him under the sun.
When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep.
And I saw all the work of God that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, for though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it.
Okay, thank you all. All right, so again, he says, who is like the wise man, okay, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines his face and causes his stern face to beam. So even though Solomon saw all the failures of human wisdom and how they could not solve problems under the sun, he still admired the wise man, right? So he still admired him. So who is like the wise man, right? It's more of a, he's not like questioning it. It's more of a, what do you call that? Like an exaggeration, right? Or a rhetorical question. There we go, right? Yeah, it's a rhetorical question. So here we see Solomon asking a question. Who is like the wise man? Then he goes on to say, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? Okay, so how do we know how to handle the situation? How to interpret that matter? What he is saying is that the wise man does, right? When something comes your way, if you're wise, and you should be able to handle it, at least most of things, right? Wise men, at least looking at himself, maybe thinking about himself, maybe thinking around the world, the people around him. I'm not sure exactly, like most commentators say that he's thinking about himself. And so... what he is saying is that the wise man does. He is saying that one of the benefits of being wise is to know how to handle or interpret matters or situations, okay? So, when people ask you questions about the Bible, Is it hard sometimes to answer those questions? It can be, right? Is it easy sometimes to answer those questions? Yeah, yeah. You can. What makes it easier or harder to easier when answering those questions for people? The understanding, right? Which comes with, what's that? Studying scripture, which equals to wisdom, right? So, yeah, so we can all relate to that, right? We probably have friends around us, family around us, right? When, especially when your little kids say, where does God come from, right? How many of you are ready to answer that right now? Right? And so, but yes. So we can see that in our own lives, right? So as we grow into wisdom, into truth, then you know how to handle these situations. But that goes with anything in life, right? You can be an expert, what do they call it, an SME, subject matter expert, right? So they say. So who's a subject matter expert at anything in here? Nobody? Oh, come on. Somebody has to be an SME in here. Jesus is smiling. Are you an SME?
I'm waiting for Stephen to raise his hand.
You're waiting for Stephen?
Joke's on you.
But yeah, so again, right? So that's what he's saying. So there is some truth to that, though. You know, you may have the knowledge of, you know, how to put something together, how to handle a certain situation. But even the same situation can be different, right? There's always something that's different about every situation. You could say, well, I've talked to many couples about marriages, right? I've counseled them. But I'll tell you what, whether it's marriages, whether it's friendships, whether it's bickering, whether it's fighting, whatever it is that you're trying to solve, there's always something slightly different in every situation that you're dealing with. At least it seems like for me. That you can never go back and say copy and paste, right? Sometimes maybe, but not all the time. So there's always something different. There's always a different piece of a pie inside those types of situations. But, again, that's why it's good to know God's word. And then experience. Experience also will do that for you. Okay, hold on. This took me to the bottom of my page. But I deleted it all. All right. Okay. Let's see, where did I leave off? So wisdom, wisdom, it allows us to understand and interpret matters when they come our way. Wisdom cannot solve all things. We saw that last two weeks ago. But we see that it can solve many and should be valued for that. Okay, so wisdom should be valued because it can solve some issues, right? So think about it. Who else was more qualified to search out all the hidden things under the sun than Solomon, right? And he's telling us this. He's telling us that we can benefit from knowing wisdom, that there's something good to it, right? And because of that, we can interpret certain matters, certain situations. So, Solomon. And with that, at the end of this, there's something that kind of hit me. There's a responsibility to having wisdom, okay? There's a responsibility to having it. Once you know, right? You're responsible. And so, go ahead.
That's why in that, we were talking about this earlier. It reminded me of that passage whenever it says, if your brother stumbles whenever he eats meat from an idol, right? It is better for you not to know and just to eat it.
Mm.
Because once you have that knowledge, then you know how to act with it, you know?
That's right. The Corinthians? Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, right? So there's responsibility with it. So the more you know God's word, the more you're going to hate your sin, and the more you're going to see yourself lower and lower and lower, right? And so I hope that's true for you all anyways.
It kind of reminds me of the aspect to, like, we were talking about, where if you're at a certain church, or you're at a Catholic church, and you may be ignorant of the word for so long, and you start really reading your scripture and that truth, it's going to, you're going to discern better. You're like, mm-hmm. This might not be the right thing. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. The truth will set you free, right? Set you free. But yes, so it allows us to understand and interpret matters when they come our way. Wisdom cannot solve all things. A man without wisdom lacks understanding. Okay. When they are faced with a problem, they don't know what to do. But one who is wise has understanding and is able to work his way out of a situation. Okay, a wise man is also more confident. I'll put a little quotation mark here, or not quotation, but I know when I was young, and this probably may apply to some of you, I was growing up in a divorce home, parents fighting, always going to places with my siblings, and you could tell that they're like, oh, there they are again, right? We got to babysit them. Or my mom was bouncing from house to house with my aunts or uncles just because she wasn't financially set. So we'd go stay with my mom, and this weekend she was staying at my aunt's, and the next week with my uncle until she finally found a house again or an apartment. And so over those years as a young person, I lacked in self-confidence, right? My dad was around, but he just taught me how to work. There was no wisdom. There was no, man-to-man conversations, right? But I will tell you this, that when I became a Christian and I began to see God's truth, and when I learned to begin to defend it and that I could stand up to people, I gained a lot of confidence. I got my confidence in the Lord. When you can take the Bible and put it between you and somebody else, and that's important. That's good. But if you take the Bible and you're just throwing it at somebody, that's not good, right? You can know all this theology, but if you just have knowledge without application, then no good. But when you can take the Bible and put it between you and somebody else and let the Lord do the work, and there's confidence in that, you know, because it's reliable. And so again, and I probably got too much confidence now because it trickles into everything in my life now. And so sometimes it's not good. I have to pull myself back. I've overcorrected. But in God's word, I really try to stay really tight, because if I don't, then I feel the temptation to water it down or to compromise for self-gain or benefit, okay? And that's not good. And so, again, surround yourself with people who will hold you accountable, and that's wise as well. So anyways, my own personal story, a wise man is also more confident. I can say that through my own experience, that a wise man is more confident, but mainly in the things of the Lord, right? So, okay. Any comment on that? Anybody else? No? Okay. Maybe I'm the only guy. So, we even see that the preacher feels like wisdom illuminates the face and it causes it to beam, right? I remember when I got kicked out of that church, the wife and I were driving back home, and I don't know who he called. Who was it? It was either my mentor or her dad or somebody, but we're driving back home. We're like, hey, we just got ran off from this church, but we were excited about it, right? And finally, for the first time, I could understand when Christ says that the truth shall set you free, like it truly meant something. The application of that was so deep to me, and I understand that now. And it's not that I was being persecuted. It's just that we just had a difference in theology and doctrine. And I felt it was a necessity, an essential doctrine, at least for me. And so that right there, I felt like the way he's saying here, like the wisdom illuminates the face and causes it to beam at the end in that verse. A man's wisdom illuminates his face and causes his stern face to beam. So, okay. He feels like wisdom can change one's physical appearance is what he's saying. And it can. People can see that in you, right? When you're walking in Christ's likeness, people should be able to see there's something different about Miss Cheryl. What is it about her? Oh, she can do 20 jumping jacks in 5 seconds. Right? No, it's not that. What is it, right? Yeah, what is it about Stephen? He can eat 10 patties in 30 seconds. I don't know. It's not that, right? No, there's something different. Yes. Yeah, I'll know them by their fruits, right? But no. But it does. And really, true wisdom, biblical wisdom, there should be something about you that the world sees different. Are you the salt and the light? That's what we're called to be, right? Do you preserve God's goodness around you? Or are you in and out, you know, as well? So anyway, just something to think about. That's verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. Okay, so he says, I say... Some of your translations may say and, or I keep the command, but I say, he's pretty much saying, as for me, okay, a suggestion to himself, as for me, keep the command of the king because of the sworn oath before God. I'm going to put 2 through 4 together. He says, do not be in a hurry to go from his presence. Do not stand in an evil matter, for he will do whatever he pleases. And he's speaking of the king there, and he says, since the word of the king is powerful, who will say to him, what are you doing? So again, so as for me, he's like, this is what I'm going to do, right? Because this is wise. Okay? So he's saying that the men serving the king has taken an oath before God to do so. Therefore, it is necessary for him to obey the king, right? To follow his commandments. Now, there's something interesting we'll get to here in a minute, but I thought it was weird that he's like, well, you know, I'm thinking about our king today, right? And the U.S. of A., right? You know, like, okay, what about... And then I started thinking about the previous kings before this king. And I'm like, oh, could I do this, right? Could I do everything that these kings have asked me to do? Well, I haven't, right? So I think there's an underlying meaning, and I'll show you why in a second. We'll get to that here in a second. Let me see if it's in that verse. Yeah, it's in that verse. Okay, good. Let me make sure. No, it's not in that verse. We'll talk about it here in a minute. It is in verse 7. Well, we'll get to it here in a second. But anyways, that came to my mind. I'm like, okay, would I do that? So we'll get back to that in a second. There's something that he's going to unravel with just a small little phrase. But he said the word sworn or oath refers to one's pledge of allegiance to the government or to God's oath by which he authorized kings to rule. So either you're going to be subject to them or you're going to be subject to the power that gave them the power, right? And so then I think that's a better way to be faithful to, right? That's easier to. So now you have you subject to God. If God commands you to be subject to the government, then you do it, but you do it through a lens through what? The Bible, right? Through Scripture, that's right. Okay, so Psalms 89:35, you don't have to go there, but I'll read it. It says, once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. So here we see an allegiance, right? Here. And so then verse 3 here says, so what Solomon is saying is that if, what he's saying here, it is wise for one to obey their kings and to follow the commandments, okay? Because he's saying this could come in handy one day, right? This is a good thing. Unless, of course, for a Christian, it is what? Unbiblical, against the word, right? So again, you're loyal to the king until you do until you're supposed to do something. Oh, until they ask you to do something that is unbiblical. And then you got to make those hard decisions. So then also he talks about, in that verse, he says, do not be in a hurry to go from his presence. Do not stand in an evil manner, for he will do whatever he pleases. Okay, so what he's saying here is that don't stop listening. Like, have your kids, or maybe you've done this yourself, where you're speaking, then all of a sudden, halfway through, your kids take or tell them to do something, then they take off right in the middle of it. Then they get there, and they call you on the phone, like, okay, what did you tell me to do? And you're like, if you would have stopped and listened and not left halfway through my command, you would have known, right? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Children, those who don't have kids, but I see all the parents, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I see a lot of the wives. Yeah,
I know. So are they thinking the men or the children or both? Huh? Yeah. So yes, so that's what he's saying. So don't let them finish. Listen attentively to every word from beginning to end, okay, to these commands. He is also saying don't get in the king's way. Okay, he's going to get his way anyways. But remember, this instruction is for the wise. Okay, he's talking to the wise here. So when you handle the king, you handle him softly. Because if you see at the end of the verse, he says, since the word of the king is powerful, who will say to him, what are you doing? Right? Nobody's going to question him. Right? And then the next verse we'll see here in a second, how we as Christians can have influence over the kings. So here in this verse 4, the king's word has power, and no one should question the king's decisions. We should remember that in most of the ancient world, the king's word was what? Law, that's right. The king's word was law. So the king himself was not subject to law. Therefore, whatever the king commanded was to be obeyed, right? And so how dare we question the king? I always think of the story of, what's that girl's name that walked into the king's presence? Esther, that's right. And she ended up, oh, not her, but the girl before her. What was Esther's? Who? Vashti, was that what it was? Vashti, yeah. What she did, right? And then Esther did it right after, right? And so there was consequences. So there's the law is the law. And even though the king probably didn't want to do what he did, he has to be a man of his word because everybody is looking at him, right? So when you make these laws, you have to be accountable to them. And your people, your subjects, will hold you accountable. Remember when you said this? I learned that in my family, right? I promise I'll take you to Disneyland. And then 6 months later, hey, are we still going to Disneyland? Nah. Well, you promised. And we're like, ugh. The Bible says that your yes be yes, your no be no. Okay. All right. Next year, though. I didn't say when, but I will take you.
That's not a
maybe. We still haven't made. No. No, so now I've learned, like I said in the past, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Don't promise, right? If the Lord makes promises and we trust that he will keep them to the end, then we too should be the same way, right? That's hard to do, honestly. So now I'm like, let me think about it with everything they say. Let me pray about that. Okay, so a wise man who follows the law of God will avoid evil. Oops, hold on. Did I go ahead of myself? Yes. Okay, so again, we talked about the king. So now let's go to verse 5. He who keeps a royal command experiences no evil thing, for a wise heart knows the proper time and custom. Okay, so that's very important. Those who obey the king's commands needs not fear the royal displeasure. Okay, wisdom teaches a person what is appropriate. That's why it's important to have wisdom. It'll teach us what's appropriate, right? When we speak at a term, is that appropriate? When we're slow to speak, is that appropriate? Yes, right? How many times do we like, you know, say something? You're like, if you just wait and listen, you'll hear the, okay. All right, so wisdom teaches a person what is appropriate, both as to the time and the custom or procedure, whatever your translation says, and obeying the royal commands. Okay, so this could mean, and here's the important thing. I think there's an underlining shadow of this command. This could mean both the law of God, okay, or the law of the king. So when that word in the Hebrew, command or law, is in a sense tied back to the Old Testament law. So I think this is, and we'll see here in a minute, I believe this is a shadow of what he's trying to say, but we'll get to that here in a minute. Okay? So again, this could mean both the law of God, the law of the king. Who is the king of kings? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's right, Seamus. So this advice applies to us following the law of God as well, not just here to the earthly kings, but to the King of Kings, which is Christ himself. Okay? So a wise man who follows the law of God will avoid evil, right? Sin, bad decisions. Well, maybe not all bad decisions, right? But at least the majority of them. When we follow the command of God, it is always a wise path. Okay? Now, the second half of this verse, for a wise heart knows the proper time and custom. God works all things together for good, right? We know that, okay? So that's just not a wise quote. That's what God says in his word, right? To give someone, when somebody loses a family member and say, hey, let's say I lost my grandmother not too long ago. Some of you came up to me and said, hey, God works all things together for good. You know, would that be a good thing for me to hear? No. It's true though, right? So even though that is wisdom, it says here that even wisdom and God's wisdom has its proper timing, right? That's so interesting. You're like, what's God's word? You could say it and use it, you know, anytime, any place. We had a little discussion the other way about witnessing to people. There's different styles of witnessing to people, and depending on the situation. And so I think this is one of those examples here where we need to know the proper time and how to do it, right? And different situations. The way you do it today may not be the same way you do it tomorrow, even in the same scenario. But because because that moment, the proper time, then this is how we should do it. Okay. So again, another one is, another example is, let me see if I can understand my note here. Oh yeah, okay, that's right. I was going to tie this back to verse 4. So at the end of verse 4, where it says, since the word of the king is powerful, who will say to him, what are you doing? So if you're a servant of this king, or you're his right-hand man, then, and if you're wise with God's word, then if he comes to you for advice, then you'll be willing to guide him in the right direction. So you don't always constantly just beat the king with God's word. But when it's time, it's perfect time, and it's perfect custom, or whatever that may be, procedure, then you're there ready to give the wisdom of God, right? And that's what he's saying. That's how you can influence them when you're there working next to them as believers. Okay? All right, verse 6. For there is a proper time and custom for every matter, though a man's trouble is multiplied upon him. So here he's referencing back to chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'll read verse 1. It says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven. Remember we talked about that? We talked about the farmers, right? There's a time to plant and a time to plant a seed. If you do it in the wrong season, it's not going to grow, right? We talked about that. But that's what he's saying here. So in chapter 3, it talks about just time. But here in this verse, it speaks about being able to recognize those times. Not just saying that there's a time, but you also have to recognize that time. Okay? And then to exercise judgment that is appropriate to it. To be able to make a decision in those times, right? If I plant corn in the middle of winter, is that wise? No, right? Unless I have a greenhouse, but then I'm adjusting things, right? And it's not going to taste the same. We were talking about this Friday morning with my boss. Thursday at the farmer's market, a guy who works with us walked up to my wife and I and gave us 2 bags of jalapenos. And I just looked at them and they started burning me, right? I could tell they were that hot. And so anyways, the next morning, talking to the boss, and I'm like, yeah. I said, I was telling him about the peppers because the guy walked by. And I called him into the office while my boss and I were talking. I'm like, hey, I'm afraid to eat those peppers because they smell really, really hot. And I can just smell them through the bag. And he's like, oh, yeah, they're hot. And I said, well, I said, right now is the season. I said, because typically in the spring, early summer, all the peppers you eat anywhere are always not that hot. I said, but right now, if you go to any store, and I proved this yesterday, I went to Texas Roadhouse. And woo, I got one of those jalapenos on my stick, and it lit me up. But over time, in the summer, the more sun it gets, there's something about what the sun gives a hot pepper that it makes it even hotter than normal. So end of summer, like right now, you eat a hot pepper, it's going to be at its hottest point. And so if you don't believe me, in the spring, go to Roadhouse, get you a jalapeno, bite it, and it's going to be not hot. But anyway, so again, there's a proper time and a proper season for everything, right? And so I was telling him about that. He didn't know that. I said, yeah, it's, I don't know if it's the D3, but something about the sun makes them. You can grow them in greenhouses, and they're going to be not that hot. Okay, not that they won't be hot, but they won't be as hot. So anyways, again, we must be able to recognize the times and to exercise judgment that is appropriate to it, okay? Farmers and ranchers use this type of wisdom a lot. You don't want your calves being born in the middle of winter, right? Especially up in the northern states. Maybe here it's okay to keep the flies away, but a lot of people want their calves born in the spring, early spring, because of that reason. So there's a thought process behind it all. There's a wisdom that we must exercise in this. So, okay. Let's see here. So we all know that this world is evil, right? You guys agree to that? Okay, it is evil, right? I don't know about you guys. Like I've said before, I pray for the Lord to come soon, quickly. Okay, we know that man is capable of doing great evil, right? I hope you know that. A man is capable, even you, okay? And because of that, we will see that evil may also be used by the law. Okay, so a way to avoid them as a wise man is by seeking to be careful and applying all this knowledge at the right time, okay? All this law, all these rules, not rules, but customs, right? Or the laws of the king, sorry. All right, so at the end of the day, there's a right and a wrong way of doing things, right? And they are wrong. There's a right and a wrong way to do things, and there's a right and a wrong way. There's a right and a wrong time as well. Not just way, but time. The hard thing is that men cannot always discern these moments of time. And that's what we talked about. We must be able to discern these moments of time, right? Okay. Another thing time can help us understand is following instructions. How many of you men have taken something? You're like, oh, I can put this together. You don't look at the instructions. Then there you are. You have to go back and reassemble all the stuff and then put it back together, right? Because if you don't follow the perfect or the timing of each step, right, then you're going to get it wrong, okay? So don't do that. Follow the instructions. I remember one time I had to change a tire and I could not find the key, looking for it everywhere. And then I didn't know that year model, they changed it to the end of the deal. So all I had to do is stick it in there and turn it. But I kept looking for something on the bottom, and it was frustrating. Okay, so verse 8, there is no man who has power to restrain the wind with the wind. And there is none who has power over the day of death, and there is no discharge in the time of war. And wickedness will not provide escape to its masters. So this verse this verse continues to deal with man's inability. Normally, no one usually thinks of a recognition of inability as a practical use of wisdom. Okay, but it is. A man who recognizes his inabilities has a firm grasp on reality. Okay, when you know your limits, you understand reality, right? You don't want me flying your next plane out of town somewhere, right? I know my limits, right? I will not do that, and you don't want me doing that. Okay, so let me say that again. A man who recognizes his inabilities has a firm grasp on reality. Okay. If you're a supervisor, a boss, you surround yourself with people who are better than you, that's a good thing, right? Or those who have different gifts that you have, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, making a decision. And so, in fact, I train my children that way. Hey, Dad, let me do that for you. Let me do this. Of course. I could do it. Okay. And you're sitting there guiding them and watching them, and you're giving them that skill set to do something. Or you get a flat tire and you're like, here, son, it's time for you to learn to change it to a flat tire, right? That way you're no longer enabled to do it. So again, a man who recognizes inabilities has a firm grasp on reality. So we must know our limitations. We cannot control the wind or control the day of our death. Can we? No. Okay. Now, this is speaking in general, right? Yeah, you can control the moment of your death, right? But that's not what Christians do, right? We trust in the Lord. It has happened, but we do trust in the Lord in those kinds of situations. So one commentator says that he cannot obtain discharge from that war. The war that death is relentlessly waging against him, he cannot win a reprieve by any form of wickedness that he may give himself over to. So that commentator also feels like there's a type of spirituality behind that verse. So, okay, then it's verse 9. It says right here, all this I have seen and given my heart to every work that has been done under the sun, wherein a man has power over another man to his calamity. Okay, so this verse will be speaking about the next verses, okay? Not the verses previous, but the next verses that we're going to jump into. And maybe we should stop there then, because I'm not going to finish it today, going through 17. So if that set of verses goes together, but go to 13 real quick. So I want to show you something. Go to verse 13. This is what I was trying to get to earlier. It says, but it will not be well for the wicked man, and he will not prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God openly. So I was talking about earlier, a shadow, okay? And I'm just going to give you a quick insight of this. Sometimes in life, it seems like those who do evil or do wrong have the longer lives, right? It appears that way. And in fact, in the Old Testament, if you follow the law, you're promised long life, right? But then you see somebody who's a murderer, somebody who commits a bad sin, and they're living forever, right? Or they get free and they continue doing what they're doing. Do it a few more times, things like that. But that idea, it's only a shadow. It's not the reality of the big picture of eternal life, right? And so everything here he's talking about, from the verse we just started till this whole chapter, I feel that it is all under this point. Like his days are like a shadow. So even though it sounds like we're contradicting some of the promises or things in God's word, especially from the evil and how good they could have it, or it appears that they have it, and the big picture, it's just a shadow, right? That's not the reality. We don't evaluate everything just from the perspective of under the sun, right? We need to look at things from the perspective of under the heavens, okay? And so that's what I was wanting to point. So anyways, we'll touch back on it next week. But again, that's what I was wanting to say earlier about the shadows. Okay, any thoughts, any questions about what we talked about? Any input, commentary that you saw in your Bibles that you want to share? I may have missed something. No? Okay. All right, well, we'll pray and we'll end. And so, Joseph, you don't mind praying for us today?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's worthy to be studied. Thank you for Ray and Owen and Barry bringing the message today. God, I pray that this wisdom that we seek in your word, Lord, we would take it from here and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.